You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
All right, so again, go straight to ics.church/alpha to sign up, and we're looking forward to growing in our faith in the Lord and also inviting our friends and family to come and join us in the coming month. For those of you who are here joining us for the first time at ICS Church, my name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. It's always a joy for us to have you together. Hey, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're a regular, if you're part of ICS Church, I've got something that's really important I want to tell you today. So stop whatever you're doing. Maybe sit down, you know, at the couch or in your bedroom. Put some earphones on. Eliminate any distractions that you have. You know, some of the things that we love doing is multitasking, and sometimes we get distracted by things happening around us. I know it's a Sunday. I know you're at home. Maybe you're still in your PJs or whatever it is. That's fine. That's all good. But this word I want to share with you today is really important, and I don't want you to miss out in the things that God is wanting to do. So if you can, try to do that. Eliminate the distractions surrounding you. Sit down if you're on mobile phone. Put some earphones on, and let's get in the Word together today. We started a new series called Unstoppable Force last Sunday. If you missed that out, you can check out that message. Just go to our channels on YouTube and Facebook, and you can find that there. The title for today's message is Given. Given. This is part two of Unstoppable Force. Gifts are meant to be received and used. I love getting gifts. One of the gifts that I had recently were these socks. See? Colorful socks. The person who gave these socks, there's a bunch of them, different colored socks. They were thinking, you know, should we give Chad this gift? Should we not give Chad this gift? Not sure if he's going to like it or not. But I'm grateful. Why? Because, you know, these socks are useful socks. And I love getting socks that are different designs and different colors. So definitely grateful for this gift. And really, that's what gifts are meant for. When you give a gift, it's meant to be used. It's meant to be received. And it's only then that it finds its usefulness. It becomes valuable when gifts are used. If you get a gift, and you get a bunch of them, and then you just discard it or put it to the side and forget to open it, you may be missing out. You know, some of us have a desired gift that we want to get on our birthdays or maybe even on Christmas. And sometimes we get those gifts, but in the mountain of gifts, it either gets hidden or set aside and we forget to open it, and we miss out on actually finding out what that gift is, let alone using it for ourselves. So we need to actually receive it. If a gift is gonna have value, open it, and when we do that, then it finds its usefulness. Another thing, when a gift is received, when we actually receive it from the giver, we honor the giver of that gift. The gift giver is honor when we give a gift and then we receive it. Have you ever experienced your gift being given and the receiver saying, no, I don't want your gift. You can keep it for yourself. Sometimes, you know, that really feels a little bit offensive, and some of us get hurt because of that. Because in our mind, man, I spent time and effort to think about getting this gift. I spent even money, finances to buy this gift. And now that I'm giving it to you, you say you don't want it. And that can be hurtful for the gift giver. So when we receive that gift from the one that's giving us, we actually honor them as well. So those are a couple of things that we need to remember whenever we give gifts or receive gifts. We honor the gift giver when we receive it, and we actually find usefulness for it. You know, it has its value when we start using it. One of the things that gift givers like to do, those who've given gifts to me anyway, some of them, after a week later or a month later, they ask a question, did you like the gift that I gave? And whenever I say, yeah, you know, it's really good, I loved it, I'm wearing it right now, I wear it every day. Or if it's food, it tasted really good, I want some more, can you tell me where to buy it? The gift giver usually is pretty happy to do that. Sometimes they'll want to give you some more, or they just give you the address of where to get it. And it gives them fulfillment and satisfaction knowing that the gift that they gave, right, with the money that they spent, the effort that was poured into it, actually found usefulness and value to the one that they gave that gift to. And that's how it is with God. You know, God gives us gifts. He's given us gifts. And whenever we use the gifts God gives us, we honor Him and we are enabled to fulfill His will as we use the gifts that God gives us. That's the big idea for today. Using the gifts God gives honors Him and enable us to fulfill His will in our life. You say, what kind of gift has God ever given me? I mean, you know, I've never received an iPhone from God. I've never received, you know, these credits from God from my delivery app. What kind of gifts are you talking about, Pastor Chad? It's actually better than that. It's more than the material possessions that we get that God has actually gifted us with. And that's what we want to talk about right now, because the gifts that God gives is good for use right now, whether you have money or not. And even sometimes in the most difficult circumstances, these gifts find their value, find their usefulness. And in everyday life, sometimes we don't even think about it. But when we put our faith in Jesus, we are actually able to experience these gifts that He has given to us. So the passage we're going to look into is found in the book of Acts. The book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. And again, he's a Gentile, he's a non-Jewish individual who recorded the beginnings of the early church. This is found in the book of Acts in the New Testament part of the Bible. Now, this story begins after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, he's writing this letter to his benefactor, his friend Theophilus. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, Luke writes, after his suffering, talking about Jesus, he presented himself and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Again, Jesus had just died, was crucified, and now has resurrected from the dead. This now, he's doing, appearing, disappearing, communicating, and talking to different disciples for a period of about 40 days. He continues on. Luke says, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. One of the first gifts that God has given us is the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. You say, what has Jesus' death and resurrection have to do with salvation? Well, you see, John wrote down in his gospel, in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, he says, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God gave his Son. Jesus was a gift to you, to me, to all of mankind. When Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, went all the way to the cross, died, he gave up his life willingly, and resurrected from the dead 3 days later, he brought salvation to everyone, everywhere. You say, how was that? The only payment for sin that man committed, beginning in Genesis chapter 2, that has infected all of humanity from that point on, the only way for that sin to be paid for was for a perfect sacrifice to be made. And the only one that would be acceptable is one that was without sin, who would die as a result of sin and death, but then break the curse of sin and death by resurrecting from the dead 3 days later. Jesus did that. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, as millions of Christians around the world remembered that sacrifice Jesus did. And that brought about a way of salvation. Jesus said, I am now the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through me. So anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus gains salvation. Yes, that's right. That's how easy it is. You just have to believe. Just have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what he said he was going to do, which he did. rising and resurrecting 3 days later, proving to us that there is definitely a way, that he truly is God, and he has broken the curse of death over humanity once and for all, that anybody who trusts in him can also be called a son and a daughter of our Heavenly Father. You see, that's easy. That's all I have to do. Yes, yes. You don't have to do anything more than that. Why? Because anything else falls short of the righteousness and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for all of us. Nothing that we can do will ever surpass the sacrifice and the goodness and the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so that salvation is given to us when our Heavenly Father looks at us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't see our unrighteousness, because as you well know, none of us are perfect. We commit sin, we fall short, you know, we make mistakes, even those of us who have already put our faith in Jesus. But because of the righteousness of Christ, as we go to him, as we seek forgiveness and repentance for our sin, when our Heavenly Father looks at us and we have sought repentance and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Jesus' righteousness is what our Heavenly Father sees when we approach him. And he says, okay, you're acceptable, you're adopted, you are now my son, you are now my daughter, because of what Jesus, my son, has done for you, and because of your faith that you have put in him. That's a gift. That's a gift that we receive. Now, if you've never made a decision to say, you know, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus, I'm going to trust that what he said is sufficient for me, and I'm going to live my life in full surrender to him, you're missing out on that gift, my friend. You can make that choice and decision today to receive that gift, and life will never be the same again. When the gift of salvation is received, new life begins. New life begins. That's the starting point for all of us. It is Jesus Christ. So Jesus was there with his disciples talking about the kingdom of God. Talking about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, in verse 4, while he was eating with them, showing to us that he wasn't a ghost, because ghosts don't eat, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. So there's good news here. Jesus says, you know what? Here's good news. You now have the gift of salvation, and it's not just for you, it's for all of humanity. There's more. You hear that a lot of times, right? When they have a sales pitch, if you're watching a video or a show, and say, but wait, there's more. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm glad that you guys are happy that I'm alive, that I'm resurrected from the dead, but I want to tell you, there is more. The Heavenly Father has a gift he wants to give you. I've been talking about it this whole time while I've been with you. And as Jesus is talking about that gift of the Holy Spirit that the Father is going to give them, that he was going to baptize his disciples in, they ask a different question that has nothing to do with the gift that he was talking about. And they say, are you going to restore the kingdom right now for Israel? Is this the time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And this question had nothing to do with the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about with them before he died, and now in the 40 days that he had been with them. The disciples, some of them were asking about the political kingdom over Israel. Are you now, Jesus, going to restore that political kingdom? Because at this point in history, Israel was not their own kingdom. They were under occupation by the Roman Empire, which was pretty oppressive over them. And one of the prophecies that was spoken over Israel was, at some point, the glory of Zion is going to be restored. This mountain, this city is going to be restored. And they're thinking, maybe now is that time. You know, when we begin to think in the flesh, the priorities and the distractions that the flesh brings does not allow us to see what Jesus wants us to know or to experience what Jesus wants us to know if we just function in the flesh. Gifts are sometimes ignored by other things. And here, that's kind of what's happening. The flesh is the one that's asking. We have our priorities. There are things that we want to experience in our lifetime. And we're expecting this physical kingdom to be restored right now, this political kingdom. But the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about, preaching about, demonstrating in his life while he was with them, was not about food and water, but it was about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is beyond the physical needs. But here the disciples were once again distracted by a physical kingdom that they were wanting to get. And they were missing out in what Jesus was telling them about that gift. How many of us are distracted today? God is saying, you know what? I have a gift for you. And you say, yes, Pastor Chad, I get that. I get the gift of salvation. In fact, I already have that. I made that decision. But what about the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said, this is a promise that the Father made, and I'm going to give it to you guys as well. If we continue to walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit, we get distracted by other things, by the cares of life, by the concerns of life, by the problems that we face, and we miss experiencing what God has for us. When we walk in the flesh, we want to address the needs of the flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit, we want to prioritize the things of the Spirit. And Jesus was saying, guys, I didn't rise from the dead just to restore a physical kingdom. I rose from the dead so that you could be made new, and so that your life here and beyond could be experienced. Not just a life now, but heaven on earth, the kingdom of God could be experienced in this lifetime where you are. And say, what are you talking about, Chad? What are you talking about? So Jesus reiterates and gets more specific. He says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Guys, what I'm talking about here is the gift of the Spirit to empower you to live beyond the flesh, to see beyond the flesh, to know that the flesh is encased, but you need to be led by my Spirit. My Spirit is going to be what I will give to you. You say, what is the Holy Spirit? That's kind of, that's beyond my understanding right now. The Holy Spirit, we need to understand, is the third person of the Trinity. You're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible anywhere, but this is a theological word that scholars use to describe the Godhead. We believe that God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Many of us are aware of God the Father. We know about Jesus Christ, God the Son. But some of us aren't fully aware about God the Holy Spirit. Now, God loved us so much. God loved us so much. That's the reason why he created us, to be in a relationship with us. But because of sin, we were separated. So God the Son, Jesus, to express how much God loves us, God came in the flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us. So Jesus walked the earth, revealed the love of the Father to us. In the words that he said, in the wonders and the miracles that he performed, showing to us this is how much God loves us, that the curse of sin, that the curse of death, disease, sickness, demonic possession, and even death itself will not separate us from the love of our Heavenly Father. Jesus showed us how much God loves us by showing to us kingdom power on earth through his life. Now he's saying, after my resurrection, that same power is now available to live and flow through you. It's no longer about your proximity with me. It's not about me coming into the scene, into the situation physically. I will no longer be present. But you know what? Something better is coming. Something better is coming. I'm going to send my Spirit. So even physically, I'm no longer here. My Spirit will be in you. In you. He's talking to the disciples. Even though physically I won't be here, my Spirit will be in you. The same Spirit that enabled me to be victorious over sin, the same Spirit that allowed me to walk in righteousness and holiness, the same Spirit that rose Lazarus from the dead and that resurrected my own life from the dead, is going to be the same Spirit that will reside in you. And you say, wait a minute, Chad, aren't they already filled with the Spirit because they have faith in Jesus Christ? Yes. Yes, you are correct. They're already filled with the Spirit because only the Holy Spirit can convict us of sin and cause us to put faith and trust in Jesus for salvation to begin. But Jesus is saying, there is more. Not salvation, not righteousness, but more of His presence. What for? To empower us to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God the Father to the disciples of Jesus Christ. And you say, who are the disciples? Who are the disciples? Isn't that just the first century? A disciple is a follower. A disciple is somebody who has put their full trust in Jesus, in who He is and what He has done. So if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are a disciple. You are a disciple. When the Bible talks about disciples, that's what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit empowers us for life and effective witness. This is what He does. Now, I don't know about you. If there's a gift that somebody wants to give to me, and it's a gift that I know is really going to be beneficial for my life, I want that gift. I want that gift, right? Now, a few months ago, when we were starting out our media team here, it was a bit of a struggle because some of our technology was a few years old. And so it was a bit hard in editing and capturing all of these things. But when we presented that need to leadership and the leadership decided, yes, we're going to gift this. We're going to gift it. And when some of you responded and gifted us with things, of course we were excited. Of course the tech team was, you know, beyond the clouds, because now we could do what we needed to do much better than what we were doing before. I mean, before we were functioning and that was fine, but now we could do more. And it's like occasionally, you know, like a few days ago, the water kind of was cut off here at church because there was a leak on one of the main lines outside. There was no water, right? If you turn on that tap, it's only a trickle. And then you find out, oh, the reason is because I haven't switched on the main valve fully. And you find out, I'm just going to go there. I mean, there's water that's flowing, but the moment you turn on the valve full and then the gushing water comes out, that's why. And so here Jesus is saying, you know what? Salvation is already there. That's a gift. You've received it. You've acknowledged it. You're sharing it to others, but there is more. There is more. And Jesus says, you're going to be empowered. You're going to be my witnesses. This is the reason why whenever we read throughout the book of Acts, the beginnings of the early church, these same disciples who were asking, are you now going to restore the physical kingdom to Israel after the baptism of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2? Guess what happens next? What happens next? They're no longer talking about that political kingdom. All of a sudden, as the baptism came in that room, they were filled. They began to speak in languages that they didn't know, declaring the glory of God. And Peter, mumbling, fumbling Peter, foot in mouth Peter, gets up and preaches to the crowd who are asking, are these guys drunk? And he says, no, they're not. And he preaches, he quotes from the Old Testament prophecy. He talks about Jesus Christ. Salvation is declared. 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit baptized. They were baptized. They were saturated and filled with the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is the one that draws them to faith in Christ. These same disciples would go about different places, and they were so filled with the Spirit of God that as Peter would walk past people who were lame, he passes by and the shadow passes them, they're instantly healed. Why? Is it because Peter was special? No, it's because God loves us so much. God wants His disciples to succeed. God wants us to be effective witnesses, that if we will be hungry enough, if we will be open and receptive to what He wants, to baptize us, to saturate us, to immerse us in His Spirit, He will. And because they were so full, God's power just spilled over their lives. And people, even though they had not yet mentioned Jesus, were instantaneously healed as Peter passed them by. This is what God wants for you, for me, for every disciple, for every follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is what He wants for every person, even if you don't know Jesus Christ yet. You say, how is that possible? Well, you see, there was this guy named Cornelius who was a centurion. Remember? Roman Empire, non-Jewish, non-follower of Jesus, and yet he loved God so much, and obviously the kind of God that he was loving was towards the right direction. It was Jehovah God, because this God revealed himself to him, and he said, call for this man named Peter from another town, and he will explain to you many more things about me. Peter, who was a Jew, one afternoon was praying and receives a vision from God, and it's a vision about clean and unclean animals. Now, in a Jewish custom, they're not supposed to eat certain kinds of food. But then God in this dream tells him, eat this unclean food. And he's confused. What is this about? He does it anyway. He snaps out of that vision, and when he does, these men from the centurion Cornelius that's sent to pick him up come and says, hey, is there a man named Peter here? Peter says, yeah, that's me. God told me to follow you. So come on, you know, just spend the night here. Let's share life. Next day, they go together. And 4 days later, they end up, after Cornelius received that dream, they end up in Cornelius' house. Cornelius tells him the story. I had this dream 4 days ago. Peter says, that's amazing, because I had the same vision. And at this point, they're sharing, and Peter begins to tell them about Jesus, who came to earth, who died, who resurrected. And he says, hey, have you guys heard about the Holy Spirit? No, we haven't. And he tells them about the gift of the Holy Spirit. As he's preaching to them, they're baptized and filled right there and then. He hadn't even said amen yet. He hadn't even concluded his sermon yet. But they were so hungry for God. They loved God. They revered God so much. They obviously loved Jesus, that the Spirit filled them up right there and then. This is what God wants for each one of us to experience today. You don't have to struggle through life. If you're saying, you know what, sometimes I get confused about what I need to prioritize. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by the concerns of life, right? We function based on the flesh, what we need to eat, the food, our shelter, our safety. God says, you know what, I've already got that covered. Remember, my kingdom is not about that. That's why I said, if you seek my kingdom first, your needs are going to be met. My kingdom is not about eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. If you allow my Spirit to lead you and not your flesh, if you allow this gift to manifest in your life, to be received and to be used, then like these disciples, you will overcome. It's no wonder that many of these guys went all the way to their death and never denied Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were not functioning in the flesh. You see, all the flesh wants to do is to save the flesh, to care for the flesh, to care for the needs of the temporal. But when we're led by the Spirit, we know that we live beyond the flesh. And that even though we struggle with all kinds of stuff in the flesh, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spirituality, principalities of evil in the heavenly realms. We understand that the battle we fight is there. Yes, it manifests in the flesh, but when we're led by the Spirit, we already know that we are more than conquerors. Come on now. You already know that you are victorious if you're led by the Spirit. So Jesus says, I want to baptize you. The Heavenly Father has promised this. It's a gift. Now will you receive it? They were so eager to preach the gospel. Jesus told them, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Because when you are baptized, meaning saturated, immersed in God's Spirit, you will be my effective witnesses. Literally, you will be my effective martyrs when this power comes over you. That as you go, a martyr is somebody who dies to themselves so that God's Spirit can live through them. Come on. Isn't that what Jesus said? And we say, I die to my flesh, deny my own self so that Jesus, you could be manifested and live through me. It's no wonder they stared death in the face and they never denied Jesus. because they received salvation as a gift, but also they received the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowered them for effective life and service, being effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. So after Jesus tells them this teaching, it says in verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Come on. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Don't be amazed at that. Again, that's something supernatural, is never seen before. The same Jesus who has been taken from you in heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. He's saying there are priorities right now, guys. I know you were distracted by the physical kingdom, but now you know there are priorities that you need to do. You need to go about the mission that God has entrusted to you. How are we going to succeed in this mission? Is it just going to be through my own ability and wisdom? No. As you receive that gift of salvation, Jesus and God the Father has promised he will send and fill each one of us with his Spirit. He will baptize us with his Spirit so that we can succeed in the task that he has given us. Why? Because it's a spiritual task. It's not a physical task. And when we lead our lives by the Spirit of God, then we will know how to order things in our life. Our priority, like the disciples, will no longer be about the political kingdom, will no longer be about the flesh, but it will now be about the kingdom of God, of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Ghost. We will now understand that yes, there are manifestations of sin in the physical, sickness, death, disease, but we understand that as we live in the kingdom of God, these can be overcome through the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit that enabled Jesus to be victorious over sin is the same Spirit that will reside in us. The same Spirit that raised Lazarus and Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that resides in each one of us who choose to put our faith in Christ. And it says, Jesus, yes, I want all that you want for me. The more that you want to give to me, I'm open, I'm ready, I'm willing, I want to receive it. And when we do that, just like what happened in Acts chapter 2, he will baptize us. He will baptize us. What happened to Cornelius' home and his household? They loved Jesus so much, they were immersed in his Spirit. The disciples, the early church, up to today, we have disciples going to places on earth where their life will be threatened by death simply because of believing in Jesus. But they go anyway. They follow Jesus anyway as he leads them. Why? Because they are led by the Spirit of God and not the flesh. Do you know that's what God wants for each one of us today? In the midst of this pandemic, God has a purpose. Regardless of how long it takes, regardless of the difficulties that we are faced with, the lack that we experience every day, every month, God knows. But as we allow ourselves to be led by his Spirit, our perspective will be set right. Are you saying, Pastor Chad, that I shouldn't care about the needs of my family? Are you saying I shouldn't prioritize what I need to do? Yes, you need to do that. But there's a difference between overwhelming needs that we have and overliving a life in freedom led by the Spirit. We can be in the midst of difficulty and know, yes, in confidence I have faith because Jesus is with me and his Spirit is in me. I can overcome these things. I am more than a conqueror in the midst of difficulties surrounding me. Why? Because his Spirit is in me. If Jesus was the most intimate expression of God to us, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate expression of how close God wants to be, because he just doesn't want to be known. He wants to reside. He wants to live in. And he says, when you put your faith through my son Jesus, that's going to begin. But there is more. For you to be effective in daily life and be an effective witness, even at the face of difficulty and yes, death itself, it has to be my Spirit living in you, filling you To be baptized is to be immersed. And when you're immersed, you overflow. And when you overflow, it affects not just your life, but your surroundings as well. Would you seek that gift? If you desire all that God has for you, all you need to do is to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to use the gift that you give, and I'm going to honor you so that I'm enabled to live according to your will. All you need to do is to receive it. The question is, are you ready to receive that gift? Are you wanting to receive that gift? If you are, it can begin right now. Those of you who don't know Jesus and have not made a decision to follow him as Lord over your life, that gift is for you. It's free. You don't need to be a member of this church. You need to sign up. You don't need to read a Bible. You need to open up, memorize so many things to receive salvation. No, you just need to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. And he did what he said he would do. And beginning today, choose to follow him, and that new life can begin. Those of you who are already Christians, don't you wish you have all that God has for you? I do. If Jesus said, this is for you as well, after salvation, there's more. I want that more. I want that more because I know in my own ability, through my own strength, through my own wisdom, I will not be able to live a life of righteousness, of holiness, prioritizing what God wants in my life, doing what God wants in my life, if I just function through my own ability. But if Jesus says, you know what, my Holy Spirit is going to be sent to fill you up so you could be effective in life, in witness, in all things, I want that.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.